Hello and welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. We're having a walk in the Welsh Hills today. It's a little bit windy, so I hope it doesn't affect the recording. Today we've been talking a lot about the cruelty inflicted on so many by the Conservatives, and I just wanted to discuss this quote. A vote for the Conservatives is a vote for cruelty. So before we begin discussing this quote, first of all, what do we mean when we use the word cruelty?
Cruelty is inflicting pain on another gratuitously and getting some kind of gain out of the act.
So is this what the Conservatives are doing?
I think that they are. Even though we need to finesse this, if we're going to do a psychology of the Tory mentality, which I think is what we're going to try and do.
It'll take us forever to do the full thing.
Yeah. And it depends how much nuance you want, you know. And, of course, not everybody's the same. And you have to make allowances for that. But I think that there is an undercurrent within the collective Tory psyche of cruelty. I think we need to recognise, following nature on this, that human beings are cruel, or at least have a very, very great capacity for cruelty, both to animals but also to each other. And if you're acquainted with history, you'll know this to be the case. We can't argue about it, that we have this propensity for cruelty. But it's a propensity that doesn't go unmoderated by customs and the call of other orientations to life. Human beings are also, potentially, in quite the same way, very, very compassionate, very caring of each other. And again, study of history will convince you of this. We're pretty complicated creatures. But politics, in some ways, I don't want to get too reductive here, but politics in some ways tends to gravitate around a duality or a polarity between ideals which celebrate the individual and are quite happy to talk up selfishness, and the rational actor who pursues his or her own rational self-interest. And conservatism is actually based on an idea that this is how people ought to be, and this is how you organise the economy. The whole of neoliberalism is about the notion that this is the proper way for things to go, that the human being is an individual and who pursues his own rational self-interest in the economy, and that's what drives the economy. And that it's the most efficient way of driving an economy. And that in some way it produces wealth which trickles down to everybody, those less capable in society. This is the theory. But it is a kind of celebration of the individual. And somebody like Hayek, who was a Mrs. Thatcher's guru, really, she loved him and loved his ideas, as one of the fathers of neoliberalism, was of the opinion that really we had this huge ideological battle between collectivism and individualism, with himself coming down on the side of individualism, and alongside that the celebration of free markets, competitive capitalism. Small government, strong government that protects the market but doesn't do anything else, doesn't interfere, lets people do what they like. Pretty well at the core of Thatcherism, which the current Conservative government is the inheritor of. Now, Hayek was a bit of a dick because he thought that collectivism, he could use that as a banner to put communism, socialism and fascism, Nazism, all under one banner. And it's a bit weak if you examine it. And in fact, I think his story about the world is as it's now becoming apparent, a dangerous fantasy. But it's a concomitant of all this that you end up with somebody like Enoch Powell. In some ways a quintessential Tory, even though they threw him out for being a bit too racist even for them, would say, I love the man who loves his own. And of course Mrs. Thatcher said, didn't she, there's no such thing as society, there are only individuals. Even though she later moderated that and said, there are no such thing as society, there are only individuals and their families. This was a bit more acceptable to the spin doctors as a propaganda slogan. But of course, what does that boil down to? It boils down to saying people can't extend their sympathies very far. Realistically, they might be able to extend them to a family. The idea of extending them to a nation takes a lot of work, a lot of education to produce nationalism. Now, somebody like Corbyn is saying the opposite of that. He's saying, for the many, not the few. He believes we can extend our sympathies and that we ought to extend our sympathies. The conservative attitude is that you needn't apologise for not extending your sympathies. Don't buy this bleeding heart liberal stuff. Don't buy this creeping Jesus stuff about, you know, loving everybody. Or this creeping Buddha stuff about bodhisattvas who lay their lives down for the world and all this. So there's a big, underneath, at the level of values, contest between these two attitudes. And Toryism celebrates the attitude of not really having that much sympathy for others. This is thought to be the proper way to be. Not only do you not need to apologise for it, you should pursue it. You should pursue your own rational self-interest. And it ends up with greed is good, of course. And it suits capitalism absolutely just fine for that to be a dominant attitude in society. Now, obviously, if you haven't got much sympathy for people, it's a small step to actually enjoying the pleasures of inflicting cruelty or getting the payback from inflicting cruelty if it's not pleasure isn't your thing in that respect. And I just want to say that there are a number of paybacks. There's not just one payback. There's a number of paybacks, a number of gains possible, which we'll go into in a minute. Now, if you are committed to at least trying to love everybody and to be for the many and not the few, and to feel that you ought to be able to extend your sympathies, and if you feel guilty when you can't and you have a go to improve in that respect, you're far less likely to be cruel. It's not to say you haven't got the possibility for cruelty in your soul, but you're less likely to indulge it. Now, we need to look at the reality. Do the Tories actually avail themselves of the possibility of being cruel for various gains? Because the celebration of selfishness, of individuality, is such that tendency isn't really inhibited in people who believe that what matters is the individual. So I've mapped out the connection between the individualism of Toryism and capitalism and neoliberalism, all these aspects of the same syndrome, and the indulgence of the historically verifiable presence of a cruel streak in people. Now, empirically, the record of the Tories over the last 10 years and the Tory coalition is that they have given way to this cruel impulse. I'm particularly thinking of the way the so-called reforms to the welfare system, performed under the pseudo-imperative of austerity, has led to very great suffering at the hands of the DWP, particularly amongst disabled people and people with mental health problems. And I've been reading a report in which there are documented dozens of suicides by people with depression and anxiety and mental health problems, schizophrenia and so forth, who've been told by the DWP that they're fit for work. Or have been told they're having their money stopped, so they've got nothing to live on. And the despair and the pain is resulting in suicides. And as I've been reading this report, and there's dozens of them in there, and it's extremely harrowing read. And another example is the case of child poverty. Now, until recently, there were targets for child poverty. In other words, that the government would try and identify targets that they'd try and reach in the project of reducing child poverty. This would relate to low income. So, you've got child poverty in a family with a low income, they would be looking for some measures to make sure that that poverty was alleviated, and to have actual targets that had to be met for this alleviation of child poverty. Now, the Tory government, very surreptitiously, recently just quietly dropped the targets. Wasn't reported particularly, or small print here and there. And that, yeah, this is the kind of thing. Oh, just drop the targets. Now, that's cruel. That is cruel. It should be a major priority. And it's cruel in as much as those policy makers and lawmakers, or people who can in the position to change the regulations, are just willing to countenance that. That is a cruelty in the soul. They might not take pleasure in it, but they're willing to do it. It's cruelty in the soul. Now, whoever's put that in place, they know this. Whoever put in place the hostile environment, and whoever put in place the project of questioning the legality of the Windrush generation. This is, however you look at this, this is cruelty. This is willful cruelty. I can't pretend they don't know what's going on there. Now, at the higher echelons of government, I don't think the payoff there is the pleasure of inflicting cruelty on another. It's the pleasure of power. And it's a pleasure knowing that you are exerting the power to increase the riches of the already rich, increase the wealth of the already wealthy, and incidentally increase the power of the already wealthy, because wealth and power go together. So this is about power. They're about accruing power to themselves and their own class and the people they represent. You need to remember in this context, again, Nietzsche is right about some things, you know? And one was that power is the greatest drug known to man. There is no high, no jouissance greater than the exercise of power, at least for quite a lot of people. And he was right about this. And at the higher echelons of the government, it's political power, and it's the power that can be turned into wealth, and the wealth that can be turned into power that is the payoff of the cruelty. And the cruelty is an indifference to the suffering of the plebs, the mob, the people, and as we've known in recent times, you know, the sick, the disabled, the already disadvantaged. So really it's about power there, and the cruelty is of a rather general type. It's a kind of psychopathic willingness to let others pay any price for the furtherance of your own wealth and power gains and goals. Now, what about the base? What about the Tory base? Can we say, like the Daily Mail readers? I mean, if you read the Daily Mail, it's cruel. So what's the pleasure there? Now there, I think, again, it's power. But it's the power that is sought by the powerless. And the power that is sought by the powerless is pretty well only gained if you can exert it over just another. If you can have the Schadenfreude of seeing another like yourself perhaps suffer, be tortured. And then you get like poverty porn and all the vilification of poor people. And the way the Daily Mail will ride that. And then the pleasure of debunking somebody, of raising somebody up as some kind of celebrity on, I don't know, on reality TV, and then smashing them down. So that maybe they kill themselves or have a nervous breakdown. And the mob is baying for more of that. Well, what's going on there? What's going on there is that the people who read the Daily Mail and get something out of it are suffering from resentment or resentment. And it's resentment at being powerless. And we heard a lot about this, you know, about people voted Brexit because they were angry. Actually, it's this resentment. It's the feeling of powerlessness and hopelessness. And if you get just a little tiny bit of power, a homeopathic dose of power, see what the Daily Mail is designed to give, is a little homeopathic dose of power. And it's the power of torturing another, or at least being having some proxy torture another on your behalf. Yeah, and it really is, psychologically, this is what's going on. And the Tories don't mind mobilising it. I mean, resentment is such, because it's free-floating, that it can be sort of mobilised, and the right are real experts at mobilising resentment. And it's done by blaming another. It's the Jews, it's the blacks, it's the immigrants, it's the Poles. And the thing there is, just blame anybody except the people who are really to blame. Who are the ones who are actually manipulating this situation in the manner in which I describe. So yeah, the Tories are cruel in a number of different ways and getting a number of different payoffs. It's all about power at the end of the day. Homeopathic doses for the Daily Mail readers. And worldly wealth and power for the Tory grandees and their mates in the hedge funds and the banks and the upper military and so forth. That's what it's about. So cruelty, yeah, definitely. Cruelty's the point, in very often, in a lot of the, you know, I think the grassroots Tory has a psychology, and that would perhaps never ever admit this, but at some point there is a way in which cruelty inflicted on the poor is the point. It's the payoff, it's that, knowing that that cruelty is happening. Now, that sounds kind of a bit over the top, but have a little dig round, you know, have a little dig. Have a little dig and you'll see. Certainly that kind of character structure that attracts people to the far right, and of course the Tory is well on the way to becoming far right now. But has this penchant for cruelty right at its heart. It's not to say that left people are not cruel either, because everybody's cruel at some level. But there's at least a commitment to mitigating that, which comes down to being for the many, not the few, as opposed to for the few, not the many, or for yourself and fuck everybody else. That's where it comes down.
So in conclusion, the statement we began with,
yeah,
a vote for the Conservatives is a vote for cruelty, is true then?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right then. Good chat. Speak to you later.